Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Jesus compared the spread of the gospel to the way a sower spreads seed on the ground. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians, the seed only grows if God gives the increase. Today, a closer look at the sower and the soils into which the seed is sown. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer continues a series from the parables of Jesus, a series he's calling You Can't Redo Life. Now we turn again to Mark chapter 4 and learn about getting conversion right.
So he sows in faith, but also he sows in partnership. You remember the Apostle Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians, there was an argument in the church as to who was greater, whether it was Paul or whether it was Apollos. Apollos apparently was a great orator and people loved to hear him preach. And Paul says, don't divide the body over personalities. He says, I planted, Apollos came along and watered, but it is God who gives the increase. Very seldom do you and I share the gospel and somebody immediately believes unless they have been prepared by others for that moment. Some plant, some water, but ultimately, whether or not the seed germinates is up to God, isn't it? So you have the sower, you have the seed, and now the soils, which is really the heart of this parable. Let's look at the different soils. Four of them. Jesus here is explaining why it is that the same people who hear messages, that is to say, people hear the same message, but they respond differently. Have you ever wondered why it is that a person can listen to hundreds of sermons and not believe on Jesus? It's happened. I knew a man who went to church regularly, listening to pretty good preaching, listening to the gospel, and when it came time for him to die, they had no assurance at all. Nobody in his family had any assurance at all that he had really believed on Jesus. Have you ever wondered why that is? Jesus is going to explain it right now. So he says, the sower sows the word, verse 14, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. Wow. The man is sowing wheat, let's say, and he's broadcasting it, and some of it falls on the path, and the path is very hard. Why is the path hard? First of all, because a path is a place where people have trampled. And I suppose that there is no heart as hard as those who are rebelling against other Christians who have trampled on them. Like a young person who says, I hate my dad, therefore I hate his God. And so his heart is hardened. The other reason, of course, why people have hard hearts is because they feel very comfortable with their sins and with themselves. And so in the midst of this comfort, they don't want to change. They don't want to have God break into their lives. They are very content with who they are. But notice this. Isn't this remarkable? Imagine the spiritual battle that is going on when we share the gospel. There are those, Jesus said in the parable, the birds come and they devour the seed. And here he says that those birds are Satan, who snatches the word of God from people's minds. Always remember that your mind is a spiritual substance, not a physical substance. It would be wrong to say, you know, I had a thought that was nearly a third of a centimeter long and weighed a tenth of a gram. Your thoughts and your mind exists in the realm of spirit, and if our minds are not protected, Satan can actually enter into them, as he did in the case of Ananias and Sapphira. He put ideas into their minds that they thought were their own, and so they felt comfortable to lie and to deceive. If Satan had come to them with fury, saying, "I'm the devil and I want you to deceive the church," they would have never, never fallen for that. But they were comfortable because they thought that this was their idea. But notice, Satan comes and snatches the word. That's the only way you can explain some people who, when you share the good news of the gospel with them over and over again, they just don't get it. The word of God is snatched from their minds. Realize that we have a spiritual battle when we share God's word. So that's the first category. Obviously, we can describe them as having a hard heart. That's the hard heart. Well, now we come to another category, and that is the shallow heart. Let's read on. You'll notice he says that regarding the shallow heart, I think it's in verse 16, "And these are the ones who are sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And when they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while, then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away." These are those who hear the word of God and they receive it with joy because they say to themselves, "I feel guilty, this is a way out of my guilt." Or perhaps they hear a message that tells them that Jesus has certain benefits connected with him, if we believe in him. And the problem is that they really don't have the soil that causes the grain to germinate and to grow. And so, interestingly, these are the people who bring most joy to the sower. He sows and they instantly receive it with joy. They say to themselves, "This is wonderful," and they receive it. But when persecution arises, when difficulties come, they say, "I believed in Jesus, at least I prayed a prayer, but I didn't know that I was getting myself into something that was as transforming as it really is." And so they back away. I don't think that these people were genuinely converted. I think the best example probably is those who go forward in a meeting and they say the right prayer and they do it, but somehow it is only in the head and it is not in the heart. And so because it never reaches the level of the heart, the seed is in the mind, but they never savingly believe in Christ. I think the first two categories here are unconverted people. But now we go on to a third category that is even more interesting. I don't know how to interpret this from this standpoint. I've called it a worldly heart, category number three, maybe a divided heart. You can give your own label to them. But let's look at what it says now in verse 18. It says, "And others are the ones sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful." One of the things that we learned out on the farm was that you never have to sow weeds. And in our lives, we never have to sow thorns. They always want to come up. So here's a person who has the right kind of soil. He really does. He receives the word of God. It falls into his life and germinates. Now, I differ from most interpreters at this point because most people, most commentaries that you read will say that these people also are not true Christians. But I've known Christians who fit this category. Jesus doesn't want us to build a whole theological case on these parables. He's after a certain point. But you'll notice that what the thorns are the cares of this world. The cares of this world, yes, true believers, but just continuing to earn as much money as they can. You'll notice the deceitfulness of riches. Deceitfulness of riches, because remember, money makes all the same promises God does. The desire for other things consumes them. And it's not that riches are wrong or the desire for other things, but it becomes so all-consuming that God is crowded out and they give him the leftovers. And they're not fruitful. Now, I believe that every Christian bears at least some fruit, but there are some Christians who, I might say, bear very little fruit of the Spirit because they are overwhelmed by the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and a desire for other things. And so their lives are basically unfruitful. Maybe it is true that this category has never really believed on Christ, even though the word seems to have germinated. But ask yourself as a Christian, is this a picture of who you are? Ask yourself that.
My friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and you're listening to a series of messages titled, You Can't Redo Life, How the Parables Help Us Get It Right the First Time. And for me, it was very important that we begin with a message on getting conversion right. So I have to ask you a question. Are you converted? Has the Word of God germinated in your heart in such a way that you can bear fruit as an indication of your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ? And then, of course, the other part of the equation is simply this. Are we planting seeds in other people's lives? I have an assignment for you today. Plant a seed in the life of someone else. Maybe also if you ask God, he may actually give you the privilege of sharing your faith with someone today. God is able to make all of these arrangements if we are willing vessels. And then remember this, it's not our responsibility to convert people. The Word does that. But it is our responsibility to sow. And when we sow in faith, even though perhaps the next day we go back and we notice that the field is unchanged, the seed is working. And I say to you today, let's trust it. Thanks so much for your prayers and for your financial support. We are dependent upon you. And in a moment, you'll be given information as to how these messages can be yours. Meanwhile, I hope that your day goes much better than you thought it would. And please ask God to help you plant a seed in the life of someone else.
Erwin Lutzer and more of Getting Conversion Right, the first in a series from the parables he's calling You Can't Redo Life. Next time, more on how some seed lands where its hearers will accept it and be fruitful. All 10 parts of You Can't Redo Life can be yours on CD, sent as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.